Yeah.
So is Nikki going to come in person, or is she going to do it streaming?
Yeah, she's set for 10:50.
Okay.
Alrighty, so today is October 21st, 2021, and we are doing our initial board meeting. In person is Joe Christ and Greg Garcia. Alicia Greenaway was unable to make it in today. We continue because we do have a quorum. What we will do initially is we will start with the board taking the oath. And so I will ask the question, and then if you would, just raise your hands and say I do. Okay? So do you solemnly swear that you will perform your duties as members of the Franklin Board, County Board of Equalization in a fair and impartial manner?
I do.
I will.
Excellent. Okay, and both gentlemen said that they will. Also in attendance is Shirley Jones. I am working with our new clerk to the board, Jennifer McRodellis. So we will then go ahead and we will move forward. What we will do this next meeting on November 4th that is scheduled is we will do the oath with Alicia Greenaway to begin that meeting. The next thing that we will work with is selecting a chairman. And so between the two of you, okay?
Yeah. I agreed with Alicia last year that I would take it this year.
Okay.
So
all right. She mentioned
I volunteered
that
to do
me.
That. Yeah.
Did you flip on the screen? She did mention that to me that you were going to. And then with the potential absence, you know, of those three weeks, then she thought maybe, you know, maybe someone else. But I take it that's already a done deal.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed that. That's so great. There's a switch at the bottom. Okay, so it has been selected. Greg chose as well as Joe accepted on being determined this year of the board. And so what we will do is we have about a 10-minute gap. So what we'll do is we will proceed with our portion as far as our update. Our chief appraiser, Vicki Morgan, is scheduled for 10:15. It is now 10:05. And so as far as an update, the per diem forms that were signed already by the two gentlemen, I have received those. This is Shirley. As far as the hearing schedules, we have 41 complete petitions. November 4th will be the first two hearings. And on that same day, I have scheduled Ricky Bland. She is from the Department of Revenue, and her background, just so you are aware, is that she works with the clerks of the board, of the DOE, and she completes our training and such each year. She is there for any questions that we may have. She also, before that, previously, she worked for the Board of Tax Appeals for the state. So if you ever had any, throughout the state, any counties that have had appellants that were not satisfied with the decision of the local BOE board, then they can appeal to the state. And, you know, again, all evidence that was presented before this board, say, would be presented to that board. No additional, just the same type of information. And then what would happen is that some other people that are on that board, for the state board, would then go over the information and then they would make a decision on whether they were in agreement and, you know, sustain the decision of the local boards and or they make a different decision. But that is something that is open for all of us. And Ricky worked in with the state board tax appeals as well. She's very knowledgeable. The questions that Joe had put forth last year in an email, I have forwarded those questions to her. I also asked that she, you know, if there's been any type of situations or any particular information that has come up within the other counties. If she would please cover that information, give some ideas to you folks, then she's going to do that as well.
Okay.
She will be coming in via team meeting, so she will have also information that we'll have up on the screen so she can show examples and that kind of thing as well. So I'm looking forward to that. She knows her stuff. She's very, very good. Again, just as last year and the year before and the year before that, residential hearings are 20-minute intervals, 5 minutes for the appellant to kind of hit the highlights on their evidence, 5 minutes for the appraiser to do their highlights of their evidence, and then 10 minutes for any questions. Same thing with the commercial hearings, except that they're 30 minutes. So again, it gives each of the parties 10 minutes and then 10 minutes again for any questions. Yes.
Now, is that something that you want the chairman to kind of be writing control over?
I would.
Okay.
That would be great. What I used to do a couple of years back when I did this is that I would put a note, I would write a note if it was getting within a couple of minutes. But if you could watch the clock, that would be perfect, so I don't want to bother you at all. You know, but no, that sounds excellent. So hearings wise, we have 13 residential and we have 28 commercial. Again, 19 of those are one particular owner, and we have those on one day. So what will happen?
Is that all one? Is that 19 all commercial?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe, are some of those undeveloped, or do they all have a building on them? Okay, all undeveloped lands.
Oh,
those.
Okay.
So we figured that that would be just boom, 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 one into the other.
Right.
We won't wait for the 30 minutes. We'll just move right on through. And let's see here. And then we did have 4 withdrawals, 1 stipulation so far, and 13 were denied, mostly because of an incomplete petition regarding not having a change of value notice. If we do not get a copy of that, then unless it's an unusual circumstance and they provide us information, you know, as to why, then we need to consider it incomplete and we cannot accept it.
Okay.
So as far as the patents...
Just a question. When somebody sends something in, I assume you don't just immediately deny it. Do you contact them and give them a chance to submit
something? We not only write a letter and let them know that the petition was received timely.
Yeah.
I'd say it was a change of value that was missing.
Right.
But we let them know the petition was received timely. However, to be considered a complete petition, that we need to have a copy of the change of value notice as well.
Okay.
And then they have until, you know, the 30 days. The notices were sent out on September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
On October 4th is when the deadline was for us to receive a petition. So depending on the timing, if we got it within a couple of weeks, you know, of September 2nd, we said you have until October 4th. If we received the petition but not the change of value notice, we still sent out a letter. We let them know, and we gave them a week, saying, please, you know, give us a copy of the change of value notice by this date.
Okay. Now, if that date wouldn't be able to go beyond October 4th, right?
Well, we did. If we received the petition, we allowed 1 week. There was very few, I think, that happened with. But again, we want to try and give them the benefit. And again, if it's just a copy of the change of value notice, sometimes people will not realize that that's what they need. It's the writings on the petition.
Right.
So we do give them that time.
No, I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Meetings are going to start at 8 o'clock?
9.
9, okay.
Yeah. Now, I would ask on November 4th, because we need to give Alicia the oath as well, if you would come at 8:45 on the 4th, that would be excellent. So we have time to make sure that we're all situated, because Ricky is going to be, I'll be getting on the laptop and I will sign in to that meeting at 9 o'clock. I gave her between 9 and 10:30. And so our first hearing that day, we have 2, will begin at 10:30.
Okay.
so we have that time. And should you have any questions that kind of come to mind between now and then, please feel free to write those down and bring those in with you. And again, she is full of information and would be very willing to, you know, help out with whatever she needs to.
Right. So that first, the you have the appeals for us this morning for the first one? Okay.
Yeah.
And as far as the process, you know, it's been a while. I know we created some forms to help us document things so we could...
As far as decision goes?
Decision, that you can read them off and kind of keep them similar.
Right, right. Okay. And I remember you coming up with that when I was doing this. So what will happen is I will bring those and have copies for you, Mike's, as far as for you to be able to... And I'll have the parcel number and such on there. And then you'll be able to just write your notes. So Joe put this form together. It was awesome because... after making decisions, then it was always easiest, you know, before when we didn't have the form, that was just a matter of the chair writing notes and then trying to follow them. So because of his form, it was so easy, you've seen it, to just read right through it. I believe you were chair last year, right?
No,
Alicia's still, she's still held on to it.
But he came up with that form, and it really has worked out very, very well. The only other thing is that as far as ex-party policy, if you are aware or know someone who is an appellant and feel that, you know, maybe you need to say something and then actually excuse yourself from that particular hearing, and as long as we have two people here that can then move forward because we have a quorum of two, then we would appreciate that. Now, if it happens that two of you, you know this person and need to excuse yourself, then what would happen is it would then be forwarded to the actual State Board of Tax Appeals. Go ahead. So again, then if we ended up with just two people who doesn't want to excuse themselves, what would happen is that we would then, if say it was you two, and one of you wanted to make a change and the other one said, no, I feel we should sustain, if there was no agreement, what we would do is just forward it to the Board of Tax Appeals as well. Okay?
That sounds good.
All right. So we have a few people. Nikki Morgan.
Good morning.
And then we have Monica.
Hi.
And we have Angel.
Good morning.
Angel is new.
All right. Yes.
And,
good morning.
So you're doing a fantastic job in here.
Yes.
So, go ahead and click on that. That would
be
this one. Okay, you
can
hardly see it, but there's a blue light on
the side. Oh, so that means it should project. Before we get started, is there a mask policy?
Yes, masks are required.
Okay.
When I'm talking into the microphone?
With you talking and being off by yourself, it'll be fine, because we do
okay.
Need to hear. Yeah.
Okay, because I wanted to join Nikki. my glasses keep fogging up on me.
You're in front of a microphone as well, right? I'd like to be able to understand you,
yeah,
so.
Oh, now you got me laughing. Now I can't see at all.
And Nikki is getting set up with her PowerPoint. We are just about ready to start. And Nikki, whenever you are ready, feel free.
Thank you.
Gosh, we got a long agenda. Long session is here.
I'm going to ask the dumb question of how do I start my slideshow?
It doesn't look like it's up there.
There's John. Hey, John, how do I start my slideshow to get it to just be full screen?
Well, I'd have to go to school for that.
Oh, I thought...
Try going down to the...
I just went down on presentation.
Yeah, this is the archaic...
But it was on the very bottom on my...
Go down... I was going to say go down to the lower right-hand corner and see that little screen icon to the right?
Yeah.
A little further over. Keep going. One more. Click that.
Slideshow.
Ooh,
yep.
Thank
it was
you.
On the bottom.
I have the same software. It's
thank you. There we go.
So are we missing one person?
We are. Alicia is not able to make it today.
Okay.
So we will be doing note for her. And Nikki, if I could get a copy of the presentation from you, could you PDF it maybe to me?
I think I already emailed it.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay.
Since I'm new to everybody, I thought, well, I would at least give you a little information.
Okay.
And I'm on a conference call, so I can only speak for part of this, but I want to definitely be involved in part of it.
All right. We have also, we're recording, we have John Rosenau in presence as well. He is the assessor, and so he is going to kind of explain a little bit about his background and the assessor's office itself on the values. Go ahead, John.
Okay, sorry about that. Well, I really wanted to just give you a little handout as far as my philosophy for the office. Not so much who I am, although I was raised in Franklin County from the time I was young. I came from Idaho in the 50s into the North County when they were breaking out of sagebrush and sand, and then ultimately ended up in a long set of careers and into banking and finance, and ended up in California running numerous financial centers and branches down in L.A. and Orange County area. So moved back here about 4 years ago and got back involved with things. So now I'm the county assessor, and Nikki's teaching me. So I really rely on her and the staff tremendously. But I wanted to give you an idea as far as what is valuable to me on our core values for the office. These have been implemented. Not that they needed to be. The office was functioning very, very well with the staff. But I wanted to get it in writing as far as what I expect, what we expect of ourselves for the public on the fair, caring human, being dynamic and driven, and definitely fair and ethical all the way across the board. So I wanted to give you all copies of that. So, and if you have any questions of me, be glad to try to answer them. On a personal basis, but as far as the presentation goes, it would be Nikki and her staff, and I'll be kind of zipping in and out if I can, because like I said, I'm actually on another conference call with a group, so on a bunch of farm stuff.
Yes.
So.
And if you ever do have questions outside of the hearing, you know, do feel free to go to the assessor's office, and you know, you can ask those questions of him or Greggy, and they'd definitely be, you know, very willing to help out.
All right, thank you, and glad you were able to make
okay.
it in.
Well, I'm going to run back to that, but
okay.
then I'll be back hopefully before you're done.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. So I'm just going to cover a lot of the changes, give you an overlook of what we did this year as far as updating values. So these are the January 1st, 2021 assessment values for 2022 taxes. So this is a chunk of the presentation from last year that we did remotely with you guys, and I wanted to briefly cover what we talked about last year a little bit. So last year when we met with you, the office had remained open to the public, fully functioning. The staff was able to work remotely for a short period of time. No staffing changes at that time. I want to hit right here, the revaluation. So last year, we took the conservative approach due to potential uncertainty of the market impacts of COVID-19. So in a minute, it'll become obvious why that is very important for this year. Because while we took the conservative approach, you see the very next bullet point is a shortage of residential supply, along with a strong demand, was causing market appreciation, especially available building lots and affordable homes. So last year, knowing that the market was moving rapidly, we still took a very conservative approach. This was straight out of the presentation from last year. Yes, sir?
Excuse me, Nikki. What's the senior exemption?
Yeah, there was a legislation change last year that the assessors group from Washington pushed forward through the legislation that increased the senior exemption income limit from a straight $40,000 across the board in Washington state to it's a percentage of the median income per county. So our county's limit went from $40,000 to $44,000. So it increased that, which allowed a couple hundred more seniors to enroll in the program just with that little bump in the limit. So that occurred last year.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So this was also from last year, just to reiterate that market sales from 2019 were being used to set values for January 1st, 2020. So even though we saw an increase in the market, we still took a conservative approach. So when we were audited and did the ratio study from the Department of Revenue last year, our ratio, meaning our level of assessment, dropped from 93.6 for 2019 to 85 for 2020, the lowest we've been in years and years. So the market moved. We moved, but conservatively, and it wasn't enough.
So how does that compare with the state, other counties?
The state overall, different counties move in different directions. Mm-hmm. A lot of the state, we had chatted as an assessor's group, mm-hmm. Are you going to go with full market? Are you going to be a little conservative? The consensus was conservative was probably safe. We still increased values more last year than what was typical, mm-hmm. but our ratio tanked. So there's a county statistics. We weren't the lowest, but we were close. Of what our ratio was. It was embarrassing. But we knew what we were doing and we knew why we were doing it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a report card, you know, from the state. It's just like a little, you got to do better, which we knew. So,
but comparatively speaking, Franklin County compared to, you know, the cost of houses, the appreciation on houses, how did that compare across the state?
One of the highest in the state.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
even
You're seeing two trend lines, one much greater.
Yes.
Okay.
The state is catching up this year. So
yeah.
Where we appreciated more last year than the rest of the state, the first 6 months of 2021, the state is appreciating faster than us,
okay.
But it's still at a hugely rapid rate.
Okay. So
they're
what
catching
we're
up.
Seeing is the next round of appraisals or
assessments. Yeah.
We're going to see a significant jump.
Yes, and that's what we did this year. So this is a report from what we did last year and the result. So clearly a correction was necessary for the assessor's office to comply with its statutory obligation of assessing property at 100% of market value. To date, there is zero market evidence that COVID has lowered any property values in Franklin County whatsoever.
Right.
So we have a different audit that the Department of Revenue does on us, and it's called the Valid Sales Study. It's kind of a misleading name because it's more than just checking on your valid sales. It's really all of the statistics to find if we're in compliance with IAAO standards. So this is the best one that I as an appraiser have received in 14 years. So while we were low assessment-wise to the sales prices, our statistics of how tightly we were grouped and how equitable we were across the board was really spot on. So while one was embarrassing, this one was, I was super proud of it. So I am just going to read a little bit of this about this review is to provide uniform taxation statewide. The Department of Revenue implements an annual study of property in each of the state's 39 counties. This piece of the 2021 ratio year study measures how closely Franklin County's 2020 single-family residents assess values compared to market values. The study consists of two analyses where the department selects random samples of 60 sales from Franklin County's Valid Sale Family Residential Sales Report. These sales are compared to the comparable non-selling properties to determine the selling and non-selling properties are being assessed similarly. The third and fourth sections of this report utilize all valid sale single-family sales in Franklin County. The third section, we look at the concentration of sales around the central tendency, and the fourth section looks at the overall level of assessment and uniformity of assessments, both vertically and horizontally. And then the real chunk that's kind of written in Greek, if you're not a statistics nerd, are all the different standards of testing all of our numbers. And they all say that we exceed the standards. So I was really proud of this. So we were low, but we were equitable, and that's easy to fix. We just raise our level of assessment. So that's what we did this year.
Hey, Nikki, would
yes.
you give the link to Shirley and have her send it so she can send it to
yes,
us?
Jennifer has it, so absolutely they can distribute.
I'd like to look at it.
Sure. This is the geographic location of our inspection area last year. So the values that we just sent out, this was our inspection area. So central to West Pasco. Reevaluation notices were mailed on September 2nd. The last day to appeal was October 4th. 30,854 parcels received revaluation notices. So if you remove exempt properties from our total parcel count, it's about this. Pretty much everybody's value changed. 5,582 parcels were in the inspection area this year. And so of the 30,000, 17% was the average appreciation without new construction. So overall, countywide, 17% appreciation was the average.
So when you're saying without new construction, you're saying you didn't look at a piece of property that had was empty and then was constructed on?
We removed the new construction value. Okay. So if value was added because it was new construction,
yeah.
I didn't include that in this appreciation.
So these are all houses that have already been?
Correct.
Pre-existing.
Yes, okay. Existing property. 8,599 parcels had between 1 and 15% appreciation, or 28% overall. And then the great bulk, 15,130 appreciated between 16 and 30%. So half of our county appreciated between 16 and 30%. 4,565 appreciated greater than 30. So that's 15%. That's a large chunk that went up more than 30%, and then 2,560 went down. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but current use values continue to go down every year. The taxable value on farm and ag property continues to go down because of cap rates and other issues. So that's why we would see some go down. So this is a specific look at the inspection area itself, which was the majority of Pasco west of Road 68. Appreciation rates in the inspection area, so new construction not included, residentially went up 44%. Commercially went up 19%. So that's a huge jump. This inspection area needed a very large move to bring it to market value, which can also be anticipated that your inspection area moves the most because it's been 5 years since we've been there. So that sixth year, we've got a lot of catching up to do. Not everybody takes out a permit when they remodel their home. So a lot of conditions need to be updated and that sort of thing. Agricultural properties, which are looked at every year, the market value of irrigated farmland went from 10,000, and it's been at 10,000 for, I want to say, 8 years. It hasn't moved, even though the market's been moving. As I mentioned before, current use values continue to go down. That's not something we can control. That's a state thing. So we were really leery to let the taxable value go down and the market value go up. That felt strange to us, so we sat at 10. There was overwhelming data year after year after year that were low. So we did move from 10,000 to 11,500 this year. All of our sales indicate that we should be at 13. So we're still low, but we didn't want to do it all at once. It's an incremental fix that we'll have to do. Current use values decreased due to interest rates. No change to permanent crop values. And we did update to the most recent Marshall and Swift cost tables and local multipliers. So post-revaluation, since 12/31 of 2020, they continue to go up, which I think everybody knows. So outside the inspection area, the other 5/6 of the county, just as a broad look for residential, central and north Pasco went up, RSS values went up 21%, east Pasco went up 30%. Outside towns, which would be Connell, Colotus, Mesa, Utopia, went up 11%. And then rural residential under 30%. So this would be just north of town, the irrigation blocks. Went up 31%. Commercially, the Road 68 corridor only had to move 3%, Central Pasco 3%, East Pasco. So it's been booming out in the industrial area, had to move 10, and then outside towns went up 5. So commercially, we've really stayed right there. We've been time trending our sales, and we feel pretty good about it. But residentially needed a big move.
Seems like I remember earlier, like a couple years ago, there was a big jump.
Yes, we have.
So you've seen a more consistent.
We're there. We've arrived. So we've updated our models, and we've had a really good commercial appraiser who's been able to assist me in getting where we need to be. Unfortunately, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Fenny isn't here today. So Fenny has moved from our residential team over to the clerical side of things to step in at a mid-management level and learn a bunch of that side of it. So the position that, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we have had a position open for quite some time for a commercial appraiser. So we need to fill some big shoes, and I want to be able to maintain what we've been doing.
Okay.
So this is to kind of recap what we talked about earlier, the 2020 level of assessment, the ratio study. We have to shoot at 100% of fair market value according to state law. We were low. Residentially 85, commercially 88, agriculturally 84. So overall, our real property ratio came in at 85%.
Right.
So there's a lot of information available on our website. All property characteristics are available online. All sales and statistical information are available online. There's various ways to search for information. And while we don't put specific parcel calculations on the website, the overall values are available as well.
Well, that's a good, just a question.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for not putting the calculations on the website?
I think it's twofold. It's proprietary information, so it comes directly from Marshall and Swift, and they're like a third-party vendor. We don't own it. We don't have rights to it. Neither does our software company.
Mm-hmm.
So while we utilize it, it's not ours to give out. So we can print the reports and give them, like in a Board of Equalization hearing or when someone questions their value, we can give them the reports, but to publish it, it's not ours to publish.
Okay.
The other side of it is, it would be a huge can of worms to try to explain every little thing to every little person along the way. It's easier to have them focus on their overall value. Is your property worth X? Than to try to break it all down as well.
Perfect.
All right, so BTA cases from last year. Galen and Nancy Harper from Connell had appealed in 2019, and the local board, you guys, lowered their value. We did take it to the BTA, and they restored the value to $288,400. It was the only one that was heard, so all other cases are still pending.
Go back.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, you want to guess? Okay.
They did. The reason for their decision was that no actual market quantification was provided by the appellant. So no clear, cogent, and convincing evidence. They had, I don't know if you remember this one, but he lives, there's some space between him and the freeway, but he overlooks the freeway. And then there were some cattle out across the way, and so occasionally the smell would drift in. He didn't have a paved driveway. Okay. Some other issues, but he didn't quantify anything in the market. So the sales that we were including that were his neighbors were all also impacted by these similar things, and we weren't seeing a decrease in sales prices. So if he had quantified it with market data or had been able to, we would have made a correction to value.
Okay. Is there a possibility of having Ricky pull this one in particular and do kind of a comparison between the Board of Equalization's decision and the Tax Appeal Board?
Yeah.
And just so we get an education on this?
Absolutely. I think they emailed the clerk, but I don't know if you have this one. I know Amanda did, but it's been a while. Okay. All right.
I'm willing to be corrected if necessary, but I'd like to get the education so that we do better in the future.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So that's done with all of our stats of the changes that we made. Now this is just kind of the recap of things that we hit every year, just a reminder before we go into presenting a lot of detailed information. So there are three approaches to value: the cost approach, sales comparison approach, and an income approach.
Mm-hmm.
Residential and agricultural properties are valued using a cost approach model that is adjusted to using sales. So It's a combination of two approaches, which is mass appraisal, and it's called the market-calibrated cost approach. For commercial and multifamily parcels, the income approach may also be utilized, and for multifamily parcels are valued on the income approach only. So for the income approach, it's a comparison of a property's income stream to an estimate of value, the data required being income, rate, and value. They have an interesting relationship called IRV. So if you have two of the three, you can find the third. So there's a specific example coming up that'll go over that. But with direct capitalization, the income approach in real estate appraisal method that allows investors to estimate the value of a property by taking the net operating income of the rent collected and dividing it by the capitalization rate.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Regarding the continuation of the eviction moratorium, was that factored in any manner?
Yes, so we did a lot of research over this last year. We visited properties and talked with big apartment complex managers down to fourplex owners. So while there was some loss in revenue due to rent not being paid, in the first section of COVID, it was being paid directly from the government to the property owner. And in the second section here, it was being paid from the government to the tenant, and the tenant was responsible for paying the property owner. So now that that's finally been lifted, we may start to see the effects this year of some vacancy issues because they are going to start evicting people. But through all of the year that set these values, it wasn't an issue because they could either get it directly from the government or the tenant was. So it should. We talked to three big apartment complexes and they said, no, we've received not a penny less than what we should have. We're absolutely full. Our expenses are a tad bit higher because a lot of people have been home, mm-hmm. but that's it. So no rent loss.
Okay. Interesting.
So the net operating income is simply the annual income generated by an income-producing property after taking into account all the income collected from operations and then deducting all the allowable expenses incurred from operations. So there's a different way that assessors have to look at this than some property managers. That's why we bring this up. Proper expenses would include management, insurance, utilities, maintenance, all the other things that you'd be used to seeing in there. And then we have to manually deduct improper expenses. So depreciation, debt service, capital improvement, some franchise fees, and then the big one is real estate taxes. We have to remove real estate taxes from allowable expenses because if we left it in there, we'd be impacting our own. If we were way off on our assessment and their taxes weren't where they should have been, we're impacting our own value. So we're required to remove real estate taxes as an expense. And then on the backside, we load the cap rate with the tax rate. So we remove taxes from the equation altogether. And then at the very end, we load the capitalization rate with the correct tax rate and it equalizes it. So it removes any error that we could have made the prior year from the situation.
Sounds kind of like your own taxes. At the end of the year, you can't deduct your federal taxes from your income.
Yes, but for different reasons.
Right.
Yes. So an example of IRV would be Parcel A. What we have is the sales price, and we know their NOI. So we can find the capitalization rate by taking the income and dividing it by the sales price. Parcel B, we have the capitalization rate and their income. So if we divide, we can find the value. So it's two different situations of information that we might have and how we arrive at the information that we need.
Now, capitalization rate debt tends to be kind of building or industry specific?
Industry specific, exactly. And locally specific as well. So multifamily properties in the Tri-Cities have just been going crazy. So it's the lowest cap rate I've ever seen. which may be specific to Pasco. We couldn't just take a Pacific Northwest CoStar report that says 7% when all of the sales data that we have shows 4. Yes. And that is all I have. Thank you guys for asking questions along the way. Do you guys have any other questions for me?
No. Is there a chance to get this email to us?
I think Jennifer is going to email it out
to
all three board members so you can review it at any time.
That'll be good.
I did also want to reiterate that while value notices were mailed on September 2nd, every year, part of what that 30 days is for, it's their deadline to appeal, but it's our deadline to make corrections to property. So we received, and I didn't look, but it's well over 200 calls. I mean, I think we were at 175 by day 3. So we received hundreds and hundreds of calls. We keep a very detailed call log. But what we're charged with then is to go do property inspections to anyone that has additional concerns. And if there's things that we didn't know that we need to correct, that's our time to do that as well. So every year we make a great deal of corrections to property values while we can. So it's their deadline to appeal, but it's our deadline to correct. And we sent out 83 correction notices this year. So between October 4th, no, up in between the date the notices were mailed, September 2nd, and the deadline to appeal, October 4th, we mailed out 83 additional notices. At that time, their 30 days to appeal starts over.
Okay.
So that's a very prolonged period. If we're making corrections all the way up to October 4th, they have an additional month. Those people have an additional 30 days to appeal. So we're still receiving petitions. We may still continue to receive petitions. We try really hard not to correct someone's value if we think they don't agree with it. If they don't agree with the proposal that we're making, the proposed change, we just encourage them to appeal right away. That way it doesn't delay that deadline, but they do still have the right to. So you will see a couple board cases coming through where the appeal form and the parcel details that you guys have, if you look online, it shows the assessed value is something, and we're presenting to you a different value. That's that instance. I think there's three of them where we went out, did a property inspection. We offered a correction. They still didn't agree with it. We encouraged them to appeal so as not to delay the appeal season. And we've already expressed to them that we're going to go forward to the board proposing this lowered value because that's the value we believe is to be correct. But they still don't agree with it. So you will see a few of those come through.
So what date is it, again, that you want to aim for? I know you weren't aiming for September 2nd. You were aiming for something earlier.
The date for what? I'm sorry.
Getting.
For value notices?
Yeah.
September 2nd.
It's always September 2nd every year?
Oh, no.
That's what I'm getting at.
It has been different every year that I've been with Franklin County.
Okay.
We are trying to get back to the Department of Revenue guidelines. Okay. So there are a vast majority of counties that do it whenever they want, and then there are a handful that really stick to the Department of Revenue's recommendations. Original property value notices are required by the Department of Revenue and state guidelines to be mailed out May 31st. May 31st is our goal this coming year, but that's going to change things. Since 2014, when the law changed and we became an annual state, so every county in the state had to change values annually.
Right.
Franklin County was one of many that decided, well, if we have to change values every year and we have to pick up new construction every year, we're just going to not follow the state's recommendation and we're going to send one group of value change cards in the fall every year. So, and there's multiple reasons for that. But what I did at Benton County and what I grew up doing was following the state's recommendations. So the vast majority of the county will receive valuation change cards on May 31st.
Okay.
And then we will have 30 days of all of our appraisers are required to be in the office. It's our deadline to make corrections. It's their deadline to appeal. And then we will be out in the field doing new construction. And then August 15th is the mailing date for new construction cards. So Franklin County residents are going to have a lot of questions. Why am I receiving an additional card? What is this for? Why did it change? It's going to be everybody that receives new construction value notices next year. And that's the state guidelines, is that they receive two. One is the market change, and then one would be new construction added.
So May 31st and August, what was the...
I believe it's August 15th. Don't hold me to that one.
Good.
It's later in the summer because we have to pick up new construction as of July 31st, and then I think we have 15 days to finalize it and get values sent out. It may be the 30th.
And it's not making your job any easier without having your commercial appraisal.
It will and it won't. It's more time consuming, but by making all the appraisal staff stick to one schedule and making sure everyone's done by May 31st, it will allow us to get to new construction when we should be.
Yeah,
so,
but I just meant you're flying with one person less, one assessor less.
Yeah. Well, actually two people less right now just because the position that we just filled, she's coming from Grays Harbor County,
mm-hmm.
and she made the difficult decision to accept the position, but only if we would allow her to finish her revaluation where she was. She is their most experienced residential appraiser. She's their lead residential appraiser. She's training new staff. So she said, while she needs to relocate here and she really wants this job, I can really respect this as part of why we hired her. She wouldn't accept the position unless we allowed her to finish out her reval area at Grays Harbor. So we've been waiting months for her. She will finally start on November 2nd.
Well, that shows something about the character of the individual you're hiring.
Yes.
You just have to limp along. Okay. I'm good.
You too.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Unless you have any further questions, we will email you this PowerPoint presentation as well as I will get a hold of Ricky as far as covering the Harper parcel
okay. yeah.
and this city. So.
And then the link for the assessment. The assessment report. I assume it's online, right?
This isn't online. This is just a presentation for you.
I mean the assessment that you were so proud of. The board, the Department of Revenue came in and did an assessment on
it. Oh, yeah. If you guys want that report as well, I can include the whole thing.
Well, that's why I was interested. Just a,
oh, I'm sorry.
Just,
yes.
Just a link to that report.
I'll get
that report
to you as well.
Should be online, right?
No. We don't.
It's not.
No.
You guys keep that stuff hidden?
it's a Department of Revenue report. So no, they don't even publish it
they
for
don't.
Other counties. So
okay,
that's
well,
that's pretty
then
private.
I would be interested in reading the report. So if you could add that on.
Okay.
Study.
Is that
good? I'll email that to you right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank
it's
you.
Nice to meet you, Angel, and what was it, Jennifer?
Monica.
Monica. Well, there you go.
I'm sorry, Angel.
Yes.
This is Joe.
I'm Joe.
And this is
great. We actually now have
yeah.
little
yeah.
things here.
I like that.
We're official after four years. Sorry.
Nice to meet you.
Yes. Have a good day.
Do you want me to close the door or do you want to leave?
No, it's fine. Thank you.
No, we're not
going
to.
Can you put the light back on for us?
Turn it on.
Yeah, that's great.
That's it.
There
good.
Go. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, again, any other questions that may have come up that we didn't cover?
I don't have any.
No.
All
I think
right.
we're good. So looking at the calendar of events, so we've got, so this really goes in, this is unique this year.
Yeah.
We're kind of stretched out. That's fine. So
yes.
At least it's nice. At least we're getting warmed up at the beginning. We're not doing
well,
19 parcels on the first meeting.
Right. The
plus
the ninth, we were thinking that potentially between mm-hmm. now and then, we'll see if any withdrawals or changes are made
okay.
for that particular day. but we figured that those being undeveloped, that you probably would move right through those actually pretty quickly.
Sure.
And then the four parcels on the 16th, that was just recently booked due to these changes that Nikki was talking about.
Okay.
These later changes. And at this point in time, three of those were due to that. And then we did have a fourth one that we did receive the information, and we had no more room as far as on the second, so we had to put them on to the 16th. So again, I feel like most of these days probably will not take that long. 12-2 with the seven parcels may go until noon, 12:30, yeah, something like that, for them making the decisions, you know, that time as well.
Sure.
So, again, just if we need to, if we end up on the 9th to where that is just way too many parcels to get through, I'm going to, and again, I'm not privy to any information or anything. It's just more a matter of the 19th that I would think that, depending on, the gentleman was saying that he was potentially going to be getting appraisals. I don't know, depending upon the actual value of the property, if he will get appraisals for every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, unless we have that information prior to the deadline of evidence being presented to the VOE clerk, if we do not get that by that deadline, it cannot be accepted. And again, as you both know, no new evidence can be presented during a hearing.
Right.
They have a deadline, and if they don't meet that deadline, then it's done.
Could you refresh my memory? Was it 2 weeks before the
21 business 21 days business prior day. To a hearing?
Okay.
Both the assessor needs to have their evidence sent to the appellant, as well as the appellant have their evidence presented not only to the VOE clerk, but right, also to the assessor's office.
Okay. So they've got a little bit of time.
Actually, you know, the way I calculated is that the notices go out on the 2nd of September, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have 30 days to file a petition. Then they have an additional, at least, usually about six weeks by the time you figure 21 business days.
Yeah.
And so they, in effect, have had a month and a half to 2 months to get their evidence together when they know that they're filing a petition. So, again, it definitely is quite a bit of time that they have to gather what they're going to present.
Right. Okay.
And, again, it's the same. It used to be different for the appellant compared to the assessor's office, and now it is the same. It's identical. Mm-hmm.
So let me get things in my mind. You're Jennifer.
I'm Jennifer.
You're Jennifer, and she was
Monica.
Something.
Yeah, Monica and Angel. Angel is new to where I don't know. I don't know that he will ever this year present by himself.
Okay.
I don't know that, you know, how many parcels he worked on himself individually. So Nikki probably will always be here with him.
Okay.
So again, a lot of it just depends on the person. You know, Brian Moneymaker is the
right
one that does a lot of the agriculture.
Okay, right.
And commercial. That makes sense. Nikki and Monica and Ryan will probably at this point be a majority of the ones that you see.
All right.
You'll probably see me for the first three or four times, and then once Jennifer's up and running and wants to kick me out, then...
I know how that is.
She's doing fantastic, so I think she will do a great job for you.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Okay, we will adjourn the initial board meeting. It is now 10:55 a.m. And we will be back again on November 4th.
Okay. All right.